Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Casey Foreman. Casey is a contributor for Blue Man Hoop. The website is ran by Fanside, and it provides daily blogs for the NBA's Golden State Warriors. He is also the creator and co-host of the Dudes Talking Sports podcast. On the program, we discuss the latest happenings with the Golden State Warriors, including Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and much more. Casey is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Dile hasta luego a la lentitud con Panoramic Wi-Fi de Cox. Navega, haz streaming y juega online por todo tu hogar con Wi-Fi rápido y confiable. Haz clic para conocer más. Velocidades varían y no están garantizadas. Aplican restricciones.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
There's only one place to find the most recognized brand in carpet, Stainmaster, and that's at Lowe's. Right now, get free basic installation with the purchase of Stainmaster carpet and pad, $4.99 or more. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Install available in-store only. Requires non-refundable site assessment fee. Fee is credited to final project price if bought through Lowe's. More charges may apply. Not available in all areas. See Lowe's.com for details, exclusions, and licensure. Valid 219 to 413, U.S. only.
Peacock streaming live sports and events, exclusive originals, and new movies. We've got Premier League.
Go!
And the biggest live events coming this spring, like WrestleMania and the Indianapolis 500. Watch Peacock originals like Bel-Air now.
Damn!
And Joe vs. Carol coming March 3rd.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Plus, blockbuster hits and new movies every week, including Marry Me, starring Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson, streaming now. With all this and so much more to love, sign up now at PeacockTV.com.
It's not as close.
All I can tell is that more points in the corner.
Hey, back. Loose ball, Tatum gives it away. They got a 3-on-1. Thompson over the rim. Thompson fouled.
What you don't want to do is turn the basketball over.
You hear the reaction from the fans here as they show the replay on the board overhead.
And Steve Kerr is getting into it with Marcus Smart right now, saying he's playing dirty over there. And Marcus Smart is not backing down. And Steve Kerr is upset.
Of the season, it's 36 for Golden State. Here's where Steph might have been shaken up. Yeah, Marcus Smart dove for the ball and landed on Steph's left ankle.
Steph Curry's leg. So this is what Steve Kerr was bothered about.
Oh, wow. Yep.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of ESPN and the National Basketball Association. That was Mark Jones on the call, and that game was from March the 16th of 2022. Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry suffering an ankle injury in the game against the Boston Celtics. And, boy, since the injury to the Chef, the Warriors have not been the same in quite some time. To talk more about Steph as well as the current happenings of the Warriors, we want to welcome a contributor for Blue Man Hoop, which is a blog site dedicated to the Golden State Warriors, ran by Fansided and also the creator and co-host of the Dudes Talking podcast, Casey Foreman. Casey, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Ed? Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. So, Casey, as the audio bit that I played earlier, of course, Steph suffering the ankle injury. And I want to know that the Warriors, as this interview is airing, are on a losing streak. Can you give us the status on Steph's injury and how long is he's expected to be out?
Yeah, for sure. That was tough. I was listening to that audio. It took me a second to realize what it was. And then hearing Steve Kerr getting a little aggravated and stuff, I knew exactly what it was, that play by Marcus Smart. But Steph has a sprained foot, was going to be reevaluated 2 weeks from the day of the injuries, around a week or so. I'm guessing Steph's going to get reevaluated. They're hoping just to have him healthy by the start of the postseason. But I would actually want to know this question, or this from you, actually. I was wondering, I've heard a lot of people's takes on this. That play by Marcus Smart, diving for the ball, dirty play, clean play, bad luck. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. You know what? I, the more I look at it, I think it was actually just him going for the ball. That's how I looked at it. I mean, it could sometimes in sports, you have freak plays and things of that nature. Do I think he did it on purpose? No, I don't think he did it on purpose. I don't think it was a dirty play. I just think that he was just going for a play and Steph's ankle got caught up. It was unfortunate what had happened, but I don't know. That was just my take on it, because when I watched the game live, and I was like, okay, they both went for the loose ball, and it seems like Marcus, landed on him and stuff. And I've watched a lot of NBA basketball, and I've seen plays similar to this. So that's just my take on it. I didn't see where it was dirty or anything like that.
No, I actually agree with you. A lot of Warriors fans were taking to Twitter and saying, hey, that's a big foul. You can't be doing stuff like that. And, again, I don't love Marcus Smart diving. If I'm a Warrior fan, I don't love him diving at my best player's ankles either. But, again, that's a play every basketball player is taught since they start playing, in second grade, third grade. You're told ball's on the ground, you're diving be the first one to it. So I agree with you. I don't think it was a dirty play. A little reckless, you know, perhaps the situation and where Steph was and where the ball was, right? But that's a play every basketball player is taught to make. And a guy, Marcus Smart, who gets paid doing, you know, the dirty work, stuff like that. So I wouldn't expect anything different from a basketball player, let alone Marcus Smart, right? That's what he gets paid to do, all the dirty work.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with him. Not so much a dirty play, more of a reckless play, but one everyone's taught to do, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, Casey. I mean, again, when you first start learning how to play basketball, regardless of what level you play on, as you mentioned, even if you're playing in an elementary level, you know, you're taught to, you know, when you're playing defense, go for the loose ball, dive for the ball. Sometimes those things happen, you know, just some things are fortunate. You don't get an injury, and sometimes those things are fortunate, just like we saw with Steph. And we know, Casey, that Steph, throughout the year since he's been in the NBA and playing with the Warriors, he's had his share of ankle injuries, or coming back from an ankle injury just under 2 years ago. And we're going to get kind of like more into injuries with Golden State in a little bit, but I want to stay with Steph for a moment. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a future first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not
for
even
sure.
A question. Three-time NBA champion, two-time league MVP, multiple
right.
NBA All-Star. He was just this year's All-Star game MVP, three-point contest
right.
champion and whatnot. So I got to ask you, since he's entered the league in 2009, you know, with Steph being out, what are the elements, in your opinion, that Steph has brought to the Warriors since he's been with the organization?
Man, he's changed the league, you know, the whole league of the NBA, let alone the Warriors. You know, he is the culture of Golden State. And I know everyone loves to say it's Draymond Green, and he's the heart and soul of the team, and he's the motor. And, you know, I agree with those things. Draymond Green is the motor of the Golden State Warriors. He gets them going offensively, puts the guys in the right spots, you know, finds them in the spots where they have success. And then defensively, he was the anchor of the Warriors' number one rated defense, you know, before he was injured, right? So we know what he can do defensively. Right? But Stephen Curry, none of this is possible. None of what the Warriors have built, none of what they've, you know, what they've done is possible without Steph Curry. Like I said, he changed the game of basketball. Now it's a shooter's league. If you can't shoot a three-point shot, let alone even centers now are expected to shoot and spread the floor, that's all because of a guy in Steph Curry. The reason, like I said, all these teams are shooting all these three-pointers, records are being broken for the most three-pointers being made, the most three-pointers being shot, that's because of a guy in Steph Curry revolutionizing or, you know, changing the game of basketball, I think, for the better. But for the Golden State Warriors, he's propelled them to a mediocre franchise, a team that was somewhat laughed at when he first got there. The best thing you could really talk about as of recently when he was first drafted was the We Believe Warriors, when they upset the number one seeded Dallas Mavericks in the first round. They were the 8th seed. But now Steph Curry comes, you draft Draymond Green, you draft Klay Thompson. You get some luck with signing Kevin Durant, but now your team is regarded as one of the best teams of all time, a dynasty, you know, three championships in 5 years. Not something a lot of teams can go out there and say they've done, right? I think a lot of that is because of Steph Curry.
Absolutely. I mean, Steph not only had, like you said, it's not only changed the franchise, but he's changed the NBA as a whole. It's a shooter's league. It's more because so much more of an offensive league now. And, of course, you can credit a lot of that to the rule change, of course, when you can't hand check a player anymore on defense.
Right.
That they changed that like in the mid-2000s or something like that. So I think Steph
right.
benefits with this current NBA being so offensive-minded. And you mentioned his name, and I want to talk about this next person, the other half of the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson. Klay, boy, what a 2 years it's been for him, back-to-back injuries. He comes back in January, and he's starting to still feel his way back into things. And now with Steph out with injury, he's kind of have to carry the load, you know, being with only one Splash Brother being present. Just give me your thoughts on Klay's season so far and him trying to get back into the swing of things from injury.
Yeah, you know, when you think about him missing two full seasons, you know, missing, I think, over 1,000 days he was not playing for the Warriors due to those two injuries, the ACL and the Achilles, obviously dating back to the 2019 finals against the Toronto Raptors, where they ended up losing Kawhi won his second championship, I believe, right then. But Clay, like I said, considering he's been out two seasons coming back, I've been thrilled with what I've seen. And I've seen nothing but what, you know, what I've seen from Clay before he was injured. Again, he's got to get his legs underneath him. He's got to get a rhythm going. He's been pretty inconsistent, pretty hit or miss. But I've seen a lot of flashes from Clay that make me believe that, hey, this guy can be the exact same player as he was before. I think he can contribute at a very high level for the Warriors in the postseason. They're going to need him to. They're going to have success, championship aspirations, obviously, this team has. But from Clay, I'm not worried. I know there's been some talk maybe moving Clay to the bench, you know, to be the team's new sixth man because of how great Jordan Poole is starting. But I actually just wrote an article for FanSided talking about how the Warriors need to fit both Jordan Poole and Clay Thompson into that starting lineup because those are two of the three best offensive players on the roster. Jordan Poole has been, I could say, the best player on the team the last 7 to 10 games. I think he has been the best player on the team for Golden State. But getting back to Clay, I've been super pleased with what I've seen from him, and I think he just needs a little more time. I think by the time next season starts, we're really going to be seeing Clay Thompson perhaps playing some of the best basketball he has yet.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, again, like we talked about Steph revolutionizing the game, but, you know, you always got to have a part of a dynamic duo, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have been joined at the hip for over almost a decade in Golden State.
Yeah, top
known
five
as
duo.
The Flash. Absolutely, absolutely, of all time. And, you know, Steph and Klay are known as the Splash Brothers. And we talked about what Steph means to the Warriors organization. I want to ask you about what Klay means to the organization. Just kind of give me, in your opinion, what Klay brings to the table since he's been a member of the Warriors.
Yeah, that's a great question. Klay is kind of that unspoken guy where he'll kind of sit back, not always, you know, let his voice be heard. He's okay not being the loudest guy in the room or the guy getting the most attention. But this guy, similar to Draymond Green and Steph Curry, those three guys are you know, the engine that makes the Warriors go. In the past couple of seasons, they've been incomplete. You know, that's simply what it's felt like, not having Klay Thompson on the floor. The Warriors haven't felt, you know, like they did several years ago. They felt incomplete, and having him back really just solidifies, you know, how great the three of them are. And when, like I said, just establishes, like, hey, these guys have done it before. I think they can do it again. The way he's playing, I guess it makes me believe they can do it again as well. But he's completely different to the team in comparison to Draymond Green, who is the motor, a guy who's always barking, a guy in Steph Curry, who is the unsung leader, especially on the offensive side of the floor. He's just the face of the franchise. And Klay, like I said, can kind of be that guy who kind of gets forgotten, or, you know, not spoken about sometimes. But this is the guy who, you know, has the most three-point shots made in a single game in NBA history. We've seen him go absolutely crazy in huge moments in the playoffs. He's just as important to this dynasty as Steph Curry and Draymond Green. And like I said, having him back is really – makes the team feel complete again, I feel like, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, Steph, we talk about how important he is, but Klay, man, those two guys, the Splash Brothers, they definitely have been a sight to watch for almost a decade, and definitely, you know, they're still much in their prime, so we're looking forward for many more years of watching these two be together and shoot plenty more three-pointers in future seasons. And you mentioned his name, the heart and soul and the motor of the team, Draymond Green. You know, we talk about Steph and Klay and how they're kind of similar in personalities, but Draymond is really the one that is the voice, and he's really the heart and the muscle of that team. And Draymond has had his issues with injuries this year, and he's trying to play his way, trying to find his way back into the groove of things, bringing the rebounding and the defense in the mid-range game. Just give me your thoughts on Draymond and his season so far since coming back from injury.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't been great. He hasn't been great. He said himself he's not 100% quite yet. The other week, I think last week when they were playing, he said he was about 75% and maybe eclipsing 80%. So nowhere near 100% quite yet is Draymond Green. I don't think he's there yet. I think he's towards maybe around the 85% mark at this point in time. But he said it himself, you know, he was out 11 weeks. For seven or eight of those weeks, he couldn't even pick up a basketball. You know, and as you probably know, you can't be in basketball shape. You can't be in the swing of things unless you're playing basketball, unless you're playing with those guys. Draymond's a big chemistry guy, so he's feeling where his guys are going to go next. He usually is very good at predicting his teammates' next move. But since he hasn't been on the court with them, like I said, for 11 weeks, and since he's came back, hasn't really had a full-time role, he hasn't really had a chance to get that chemistry going, to, you know, to have that feel of his guys on the court. But again, I think it's just a matter of time before he was injured. He was, in my eyes, the lead runner for Defensive Player of the Year. The Warriors had the number one rated defense in the league. He had the number one defensive rating in all of basketball. So I think it was the clear front runner for that award before he got injured. And I think by the time the postseason comes along, or, you know, comes around, all they need is Draymond. You know, all they need is for him to get back to himself. Draymond's been somewhat known to, I don't want to say be a little lackadaisical when games don't matter. But again, his attention isn't always there. The Warriors, he said it himself a couple weeks ago. I think his first game back, even, you know, 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed. They don't care what seed they are. They think they're capable of winning a championship no matter what seed they are, right? So I don't think he thinks he's playing for something right now. But when when it's the big time and the postseason comes around, I think we'll be seeing the best of Draymond Green once again. And the Warriors are going to need that defensively. I think they're around third in the league right now as far as defensive rating goes with him. They were by far the best defense in the league. So I need him getting back to himself so they can get right before the playoffs get going.
You know, we talk about Draymond and his rebounding and his defense and also his solid outside shooting, but he's undersized. He's considered to be undersized for being a power forward, but he can defend at basically all positions. When you think of Draymond Green, just can you kind of go more into detail of what he brings to the Warriors organization?
Yeah, you know, I think he's a big decision maker as well. Whenever the Warriors had all those lottery picks, you know, James Wiseman and the two this most recent draft last season, you know, he's been very vocal in saying, "Hey, I'm talking to the front office, I'm talking to Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, and trying to, you know, help them make decisions." So, I think he's vocal in the decision making process. He wants to be involved, and I think he is involved, rightfully so. I think he has a pretty good mind for the game, and, you know, for players who, you know, would work well on the team. So that's one thing he brings outside of the court, not on the court. I think he definitely helps making decisions for the team going forward, and as he should. He was a big part in bringing Kevin Durant to the roster. The big story is he called Kevin Durant. You know, how true that story is another thing, but he called Kevin Durant, you know, the game after they blew that 3-1 lead to the LeBron James-led Cavaliers. That's the year LeBron obviously won the championship with his Cleveland Cavaliers. But again, he was a big reason in bringing Kevin Durant in. I think he was a big part in them drafting Kuminga and Moses Moody. Obviously, he signed off on all those things. And then on the court, like I said, he is the heart and soul of that defense. Offensively, it's been proven Stephen Curry is a better player with Draymond Green on the court. He gets easier shots with Draymond setting him screens. Like I said, he kind of has a feel for where his guys are going to be on the court. So, and he's on a whole other level with the guy in Steph Curry. It seems like they almost, you know, have a sixth sense with each other. You know exactly what they're going to be doing next, right? So offensively, gets easier shots for Stephen Clay. Defensively, runs the whole thing. And then he's a big part in the decision-making process. And he helps keep the team, you know, in headlines. You know, he's always barking at the refs, barking at other players. He's one of the more interesting players to talk about on the roster as well.
Yeah, never a dull moment with Draymond Green, of course, on the court and off the court as he's transitioned nicely to a broadcasting career when he's not playing with the Dubs. So I want to move along now to I want to move along now to Andre Iguodala, somebody who's been – He's done it all in the league. He's been a starter. He's also come off the bench. He's helped the Dubs win several championships. But he's been hurt this year. Just what's the current status on Iggy, and when will he be back with the Warriors?
Yeah, great news, actually. They played Memphis. Iguodala played for the first time in months, actually, right? He didn't play a great deal of time. But the first play, checked into the game, knocked down a three-pointer, played some solid defense. Obviously, the game then losing to the Grizzlies by about 30 points. Not much to talk about in that game. But Iguodala did make his return. In my opinion, I think they've been just kind of saving the old guy on the roster for the postseason. He's had some nulling, some, you know, reoccurring injuries throughout the year. I think he could have played sooner, but it comes down to heavy. We need this guy for the postseason. We know where we are right now. We're going to be a middle of the pack seed. We're probably not going to get that two seed. We're not going to drop down to that play-in tournament, right? So they're going to be in that middle of the pack in a playoff seeding. So I don't think there was a rush to get him back. And the fact that he's returning now with about seven games left in the regular season confirms my theory in that, hey, they've been kind of saving this guy for when it matters most in the playoffs. So he made his return against the Grizzlies, and I'm guessing we're going to continue to ramp him up before the playoffs start.
All right, fair enough. And then I want to now get into somebody, since with the absence of Steph and Clay trying to work his way back into the lineup. Man, Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole has had a fine season of this year. Of course, he's been in the top five in the league in free throw percentage. And just give me your thoughts on Jordan and his 2021-2022 season.
Man, it's been insane. You know, something that I don't want to say I predicted at the beginning of the season on my podcast. Jordan was my pick for most improved player before the season started. So I was somewhat expecting, you know, a jump in his game. But from what I've seen, especially as of recently, it's blown my expectations away. Again, since Steph has been injured, so the team hasn't been playing great. But in that time, Jordan Poole averaging 27 points and 5 assists per game and you know, very efficient from the field, from field goal range and from the three-point line. So he's been great. He's been the Warriors' best player since Steph got injured. But the one bright spot here recently has been Jordan Poole and his 27 points per game. But I don't know how this team keeps him out of the starting lineup. That's kind of where I'm at this point. He's been proven to be better and more impactful as a starter. He averages about 20 points per game in the starting lineup, only 13.5, 14 coming off the bench. So he's definitely better. It's been proven in the starting lineup. He's more impactful. From what I've seen, especially recently, he's one of the best players on this Warrior roster. So now that's kind of a debate. He's shown up. He's arrived. And I think Steve Kerr said this about a month ago. You know, sixth man of the year is great for Jordan Poole, but he should be shooting to be an all-star. And, again, that's kind of the ceiling on this guy. He's not going to achieve that level by playing on the bench. It's tough because they have so many players worthy of starting, and it's actually why I just wrote my article on FanSided about how Jordan Poole needs to be in the starting lineup alongside Andrew Wiggins and the three Hall of Famers and Steph, Clay, and Draymond when Steph is fully healthy. I think that is the best starting lineup, but Jordan Poole has blown a lot of people's expectations away this season. I think he has established himself as a starter, and now it's kind of just saying, you know, the question is, now how high is this guy's ceiling, and is Golden State going to put him in the right position to thrive going forward, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, Jordan's definitely come of age in this season. And speaking of somebody that's definitely come of age, he's one of the high flyers in the league, one of the most athletic players in the league, Juan Toscano-Anderson. He's the first player of Mexican descent to be in the to participate in this year's NBA's slam dunk contest during the All-Star Weekend. We know Juan provides, again, a lot of the highlight reel that you see on a lot of the sports shows. Just give me your thoughts on Juan and his season.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of Toscano Anderson. I was pulling for him in the dunk contest. It wasn't the best contest we've ever seen, so he actually was one of the final candidates. I won one of the final two dunkers, but he didn't end up winning it, obviously. I think what Obi Toppin ended up bringing home the championship this year. But Twan, yes, he does a lot of the big plays, a lot of the big dunks. But when I think of Toscano Anderson, I actually think of a lot of stuff that doesn't make the highlight reel, that doesn't make SportsCenter or ESPN highlights. He sets some great screens. He's a very smart player, somewhat Draymond-esque. offensively a very good passer, has a good feel for the game and where Steph and where Jordan, you know, are going to be next. Like I said, sets a very good screen, a smart player, a decent handle with the ball, an okay outside shot. Toscano is just a very versatile player, can do a little bit of everything. A bit of a highlight reel at times, but he can have some pretty big dunks and such, can have some pretty nice blocks as well. Like I said, a very good defender, just a very versatile player. Overall, dating back to, I think, last season when he first started playing with Golden State, I was advocating for them for them to sign him to a multi-year contract. He's under contract now, and I hope they can keep him for the foreseeable future. I think he fits the system super well. A guy you want to root for, you know, a guy who went and played overseas. He didn't have the traditional path to playing in the NBA, to being a starter in the NBA, right? So he's a guy you root for, a guy I hope Golden State keeps around for a while. And like I said, a bit of a do-it-all guy, fits the system really well.
Awesome. And, you know, speaking of trying to fit into the system really well, Andrew Wiggins. I mean, this is the year. I mean, it's amazing he's been in the league this long and he's only still in his 20s. I mean, we know about him getting drafted in Cleveland on draft night, then he's traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves, spent time in Minnesota, then he's sent to Golden State, made his first All-Star team this year. He's a former NBA Rookie of the Year. It's really been a long time coming for Andrew and his first, so actually his second season with the Warriors. Give me your thoughts on Andrew and his season.
Andrew has been, you know, as of recently, you know, I don't want to be, you know, recently biased or anything like that or be, you know, a prisoner of the moment, but recently, Andrew has been disappointing ever since his All-Star break, ever since he had that phenomenal first half of the season. He's only averaging about 14 points a game, his three-point percentage. He was shooting over 40%. Now he's down around the 34, 33% from three the last 2 months or so. Right? So he hasn't been the same player as of recently, which is really disappointing. You know, a lot of people were calling him two-way Wiggins, all those things because how great he was on the defensive side of the ball and then how consistent he was offensively for the Warriors, putting about 18 to 20 points a game. But like I said, as of recently, that's not what they've seen from him. Defensively, a little lackluster, a little not focused. Like I said, offensively inconsistent, not getting to his spots, settling for outside jumpers despite the high three-point percentage. He was doing great driving to the rim, getting in the lane, creating his own shot that way, but really been settling for outside jumpers a little too much as of recently. He had a really nice night against Washington. The Warriors lost by about 10 points. The last three losses, I think they're averaging around, they're allowing the opposing team, to score about 120 points per game. That would be the worst in basketball. That was their everyday just a stat for that category, right? So they're playing terrible defensively. And like I said, Andrew hasn't been great defensively recently, but he had a nice offensive game against Washington. Hopefully he can build on that. Wasn't great against Memphis. But going back to the beginning of the season, going up until the All-Star break, Andrew Wiggins was amazing. I think he was deserving of being an all-star starter. He got some pushback, rightfully so, but it came down to the position that he played, how great he was playing defensively, how good he was offensively playing on what was at the time the best team in basketball, the best defense in basketball. He was one of the best two-way players in all of basketball at that point in time, right, really establishing himself. So first half of the season was great. Here recently he's been disappointing. Hopefully he can get back to himself, similar to Draymond Green. You know, they're really going to need Andrew Wiggins defensively and then offensively. I know Jordan Poole has taken a step forward, and that helps with the lack of production they've gotten from Wiggins, but they need him to get back to that 17, 18 points per game. 14, 15 points on, you know, 40% shooting is not going to get it done. That is not going to contribute to this team. And if he keeps playing like that, then I think Golden State has to think about moving him, you know, to that bench role, to that sixth man role, despite that absolutely killing his confidence. So again, you don't want to do that this season. But if he keeps playing the way he is and Jordan Poole keeps playing the way that he is, we might have to see a change in the Golden State Warriors starting lineup that way. But hopefully he can get back on track because this Warrior team is so much better when Wiggins is playing well as a starter, both offensively and defensively. Just hoping he can kind of get back to where he was, though, is kind of where I am right now on Andrew Wiggins.
All right, and then speaking of trying to get to where they can get back to, you know, with Draymond coming back from injury, while Draymond was out, Jonathan Kuminga and Kayvon Looney have had to put up a lot of the work in the absence of Draymond. We know Jonathan is somebody that kind of provides a lot of the offense in spurts, and Looney is primarily someone that does the defense and the rebounding part in the front court. Just give me your thoughts on Jonathan and Kayvon in their season.
Yeah, Kuminga, you know, like I said, a lot of people, including Draymond, were advocating for the Warriors to trade those two lottery picks. They ended up taking Kuminga and Moses Moody, and Kuminga has been a home run. You know, a guy who's 6'9", super athletic. Already day one, he's one of the most athletic players, I think, in the entire league, if not, you know, definitely on his team right away. He's the most athletic player on the roster at 19 years old. That's a pretty crazy thing to say in the NBA, right? So Kuminga's been a bit of a surprise as well. I wasn't sure how quick he was going to translate, how well he was going to fit in Steve Kerr's system. But as of recently, he's figuring out that, hey, I'm faster than a lot of guys trying to guard me. I'm explosive down low. Next to no one can stop me when I'm in the air going for one of my highlight dunks. So I've been really impressed with him, his growth as of recently, picking his spots, realizing he had a guy in front of me, can't do anything about it, but then at the same time saying, hey, I don't have it right now, I'm getting double teamed, or, you know, this guy's doing a pretty good job on me defensively, I'm going to give this one up and find one of the few Hall of Famers or one of the great offensive players that I'm playing with. So I think he's really, you know, bought into his role. Hey, I'm not going to start every game, but I have a chance to have a real future here with this organization, a real role with this team as soon as this season, despite being as young as 19 years old, being in his rookie season. So I think the ceiling is very high on Kuminga. I think the Warriors are very, you know, very happy they kept that pick and decided to go with him instead of opting to trade out and go for a veteran player, right? Kind of helping them win now and later. So Kuminga's been awesome. Moody's also been great as well. Real flashes of him fitting into the system. But Kevon Looney, up until here recently, either against Memphis or against the Atlanta Hawks or against Washington, one of the last three games, it was the first time all season Kevon hadn't started. Okay, so he started in every single game up until one of these last couple of games started. You know, 60-plus games for the Warriors this season. I think he's having his best season yet. He's finally 100% comfortable in this Warriors system. He knows exactly what his role is. The dirty work, get the rebounds, go make some nice plays defensively, you get a couple of blocks here and there, grit, grind, diving on the floor, stuff like that. So Kevon Looney buying in, playing his role nearly to perfection. There's a reason he started nearly every game so far this year. But that's kind of the question with Kevon. Like, can you keep him in the starting lineup with a guy in Jordan Poole playing such great basketball? All the great players you have on the roster, Kevon Looney can kind of be that unsung guy. But very good, a very good underrated center in this league. It's just tough to keep him in that starting lineup, I feel like, because the Warriors are almost better playing small. Draymond Green can do next to everything that Kevon does, but he doesn't have to do those things with Kevon on the floor, so that's a pro. But Kevon is a very nice kind of utility player for this Warriors team. There's a reason he started so many games. He's having one of his best seasons, if not his best season yet. And I hope Kevon, he's a pretty young player as well, and in his 20s, despite being on the Warriors for so many years, right? So hopefully he's a guy who they can hold on to for a while, because, again, he fits the system similar to Juan very, very well, very, very well. I love Kevon Looney, honestly, on this team. Despite being 6'9", I think he is a very underrated center in the game of basketball.
All right, fair enough. And, you know, injuries, again, have plagued the Golden State Warriors for much of the year. And injuries have plagued a lot of young talent in our league. Currently, the New Orleans Pelicans are still waiting to see the full talent and potential of Zion Williamson. The Golden State Warriors, again, had another setback with James Wiseman with his injury, and he's going to be out for the remainder of the year. What does the future hold for James Wiseman, in your opinion?
It's a very tough question, Ed, to be honest with you. You know, Wiseman's ceiling is so high, a seven-footer. He's super athletic, has an NBA body right away. It's just not all the way there yet as far as, you know, a pump fake. He's biting on next to every pump fake that, you know, that a player puts up. It's just the basketball IQ is not quite there yet. And in his defense, this is a guy, he's barely played, you know. Dating back to high school, or when he first graduated from high school, committed to Memphis, played a couple of games, didn't finish their season, barely played at all in the college season, like I said. Then in his rookie season, deals with injury, barely plays around 30 games in his rookie season, doesn't play at all, you know, in his sophomore year. Played a couple of G League games, right? So I think the ceiling, you know, could be high for Wiseman when you're looking at everything, his body, what he can do, what the Warriors need as well, them needing a seven-footer. They don't have a guy taller than 6'9" on the roster, and Wiseman's a guy who, like I said, he drafted the second overall pick. You put a lot of stock into him. You want him to pay off. You want him to, you know, to have a big part in your rotation. But a big guy having as many injuries as he's had, I would like to think it's going to be like a guy in Joel Embiid's career and how he started off. I think that's best case scenario for the Golden State Warriors is, hey, this guy is super talented, has a really high ceiling, is over 7 feet tall, though, deals with injury, and we don't know when he's going to be on the floor, but when he plays, is an impactful player. I think Golden State's really crossing their fingers that James Wiseman can follow in Joel Embiid's footsteps and be that next center who, despite having all these having a history with injuries, can be, you know, an all-star player, can be a very good player in the league and be a rotational player. So I think that's what they're hoping for. Do I think it's possible? Yes, but there's only, you know, so much amount of time that they can invest in this guy. Hopefully he can get right before next season starts and we can really finally see what James Wiseman can do. But he's super intriguing and a guy I'm glad Golden State has held on to up until this point.
Well, you know, speaking of who they've held on to this point, man, Steve Kerr, what a career that he's had with the Golden State Warriors as their head coach. And he's done a lot in his career being a multiple champion, and now he's won multiple titles during his time so far as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, which, you know, some people say Mark Jackson laid the foundation for the Warriors with the early years of Steph and Clay, and you can give Mark Jackson a lot of credit as well on that. But Steve Kerr, nevertheless, again, NBA Head Coach of the Year. Just give me your thoughts on the job that Coach Kerr has done and his position with the Warriors going forward.
Yeah, I have a pretty love-hate relationship with Coach Kerr, I would say.
Okay.
Some nights you love him and you think he's the smartest coach in the league, and then some nights when he's refusing to make adjustments and the lineups don't quite make sense, or a guy comes in for the first time all night in a very close game, you know, with 6 minutes left in the third quarter, guy hasn't played all game, and yet you're throwing him in a big moment, right? So there are some times where you're scratching your head, sometimes where you're saying he's the smartest coach in the league. Overall, I'm glad he's the Warriors head coach. I think he is one of the best coaches in the league. I'm glad he's coaching Team USA. I think he has a right to do so. I think he has one of the best systems in basketball. The way the Warriors play, the fast pace, the ball is always moving. He buys into his players, a real player's coach. You know, he's going to believe in them despite them having one off night. That's not going to make him just, you know, take that player out of the lineup or, you know, adjust their minutes in a negative way right away. No, he's going to buy in to you, you know, buy into your stock and trying to continue to develop you, make you your best player you can possibly be. So I love him in that way. But again, sometimes he can be a bit of a head scratcher. One thing that really stood out to me so far this season, it hasn't been the case as of recently, because before he got injured, they said they're going to go back to his 12-6, 12-6 rotation. Steph Curry playing 12 minutes in the first quarter, 6 minutes to close out the second quarter, and same thing in the fourth. It was like the third and the fourth quarters, roughly 12-6, which they hadn't been doing pretty much all season long, despite him having great success doing that, leading the league in scoring last season, obviously, right? So we had great success with this rotation. They went away from it for pretty much the majority of the season, and that's when we were hearing, oh, Steph Curry's going through a slump. You know, Steph Curry isn't having the season we expected him to be. He's not an MVP candidate. And a little bit of pushback on that. 25-5-6, the third best plus minus in the game, still number one in three-pointers made. This bad season by Steph Curry is a lot of people's favorite player's best season. Okay, I just want to get that out there as well. But going back to Steve Kerr, I'm glad he's the Warriors coach. I think he's going to be their coach for the foreseeable future, as he should. When they first took off, there's a reason. I think there was a ceiling on this team being led by Mark Jackson. I think Steve Kerr's offense, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Bogut, David Lee, everyone fit into the system perfectly. And Steve Kerr, though Mark Jackson, you could say, did lay the foundation, Steve Kerr is responsible, you know, in large part to this team erupting and becoming the team that they have so far, right? So Steve Kerr deserves a lot of credit, though at the same time, he's coached a number of Hall of Famers. He's had some great teams. A lot of this has been brought to him as well. But not to say he can't coach. Steve Kerr is a coach in this league, and I'm glad the Warriors have him. I'm guessing they're going to have him for the foreseeable future, until he doesn't want to be the head coach of the Golden State Warriors anymore. I'm guessing Steve Kerr is going to be the guy calling their plays.
Absolutely. All right. And, you know, the Warriors have playing in a different city now. I wanted to ask you, did you ever have an opportunity to watch the Warriors play in Oakland, and have you had an opportunity to watch them play at the new arena in San Francisco?
No, I actually have not. That was one thing that I'm never going to live down. I never had a chance to go to Oracle to see them play in Oakland. Right. So that's something I did not have a chance to do. That's something I'm going to regret for a long time. And because of COVID and everything going on, I haven't had a chance to get out there and see the new stadium in San Fran quite yet, right, the Chase Center. So, no, disappointing, I know. I haven't had a chance to see either of those arenas quite yet, but I'm guessing that's going to be done sooner rather than later. But, hey, nothing quite hits. Nothing is going to be the same as, you know, back in Oracle Arena, back there at Oakland. Those were some of the best fans, some of the best games. Even watching on TV, you know, in the entire league, they're almost unmatched, right? So super disappointed. I didn't have a chance to see it while it was happening. But this new stadium is one of the best built stadiums in all of basketball, right? So I'll make sure to get out there, but nothing does it like the old school Oracle Arena, you know.
Yeah, watching those games at the Oracle in Oakland, man, it feels different, man. It just felt like fans were really out, and I mean, the energy was just phenomenal. Great NBA arena,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that intimate feel of not just the Oracle, but just the NBA in general, it provides that intimacy when you're watching players. Like you said, the fans are literally on top of the players. So that's the deal on that, between the old home and the new home, between Oakland and San Francisco. And you heard it from him. He's Casey Foreman. He is a contributor for Blue Man Hoop, which is a blog site dedicated to the Golden State Warriors. And he's also the creator, the co-host of Dudes Talking Podcast. Casey, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody what you do with Blue Man Hoop and Dudes Talking Podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Again, Ed, thank you so much for having me on. But for Blue Man Hoop on the Fan Side website, I'm a contributor, basically writing for the Warriors beat. Go on Fan Side, go on Blue Man Hoop. For Dudes Talking Sports, I created this podcast about 2 years ago, in March, actually. Right? So it's been close to 2 years since I created it. Me and my co-host, Tanner File, a guy I've known for a long time, both of us a big passion for sports. We believe sports to be one of the few true unifiers in our divided world, right? So any way we can be a part of that, we want to. We think we bring a different perspective on what's going on in the world of sports. Dudes Talking Sports is the name of the podcast. Go check us out on any platform that you get your podcast on. We are on. I love doing it. It's a brand that I've built somewhat from the ground up. It's getting more and more people listen every single week. It's growing, and it's something I love to do, right? So Dudes Talking Sports is my podcast. I write for Blue Man Hoop and Fansite on the Golden State Warriors beat. And if you want to keep up with all of my work, go follow me on Twitter, C4Man20 on Twitter is where you can pretty much find all my work on a day-to-day basis.
Awesome, awesome. And one more time, Casey, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as Blue Man Hoop, the Dudes Talking Sports podcast, and any websites that you want to promote. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, thanks again. So again, Casey Foreman's my name. Go follow me on Twitter, C4Man20 on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram. The Dudes Talking Sports podcast on Twitter is dudestalking_pod. And again, you can check out that podcast on any platform you get your podcast on. Go check out my most recent article on Blue Man Hoop and Fansided. But again, if you follow me on Twitter, you can get links to pretty much all of my work that I do on a day-to-day basis. So go check me out on Twitter. And again, thanks for having me on, Ed.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Thank you. Thank you again. And you heard it from him. He is Casey Foreman, a contributor for Blue Man Hoop, which is the blog site dedicated to the Golden State Warriors provided by Fansided. And also, he's the creator and co-host of the Dudes Talking Sports podcast. Check him out on the various social media platforms and websites. Casey, again, thank you so much, my man. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
For sure. For sure. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Be back with more right after this.
Not as close. All of your towns have more points in the quarter.
Hey,
back. Loose ball, Tatum gives it away. They got a 3-on-1. Thompson over the rim. Thompson fouled. What you don't want to do is turn the basketball over.
You hear the reaction from the fans here as they show the replay on the board overhead.
And Steve Kerr is getting into it with Marcus Smart right now, saying he's playing dirty over there, and Marcus Smart is not backing down. But Steve Kerr is upset.
Of the season, it's 36 for Golden State. Here's where Steph might have been shaken up. Yeah, Marcus Smart dove for the ball and landed on Steph's left ankle.
Steph Curry's leg. So this is what Steve Kerr was bothered about.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Your happiest spring starts with Lowe's. Shop now for your favorite brands and everything you need to spruce up your home, lawn, and garden. Like top-selling riding mowers from John Deere, self-propelled mowers from Honda, and customizable storage solutions from Closet Made. Roll out that new mower, bring out that spring wardrobe, and bring on spring. Shop in-store, online, or through our app today. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only. Your happiest spring starts with Lowe's. Shop now for your favorite brands and everything you need to spruce up your home, lawn, and garden. Like top-selling riding mowers from John Deere, self-propelled mowers from Honda, and customizable storage solutions from Closet Made. Roll out that new mower, bring out that spring wardrobe, and bring on spring. Shop in-store, online, or through our app today. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only. There's only one place to find the most recognized brand in carpet, Stainmaster, and that's at Lowe's. Right now, get free basic installation with the purchase of Stainmaster carpet and pad, $4.99 or more. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Install available in-store only. Requires non-refundable site assessment fee. Fee is credited to final project price if bought through Lowe's. More charges may apply. Not available in all areas. See Lowe's.com for details, exclusions, and licensure. Valid 219 to 413, U.S. only. There's only one place to find the most recognized brand in carpet, Stainmaster, and that's at Lowe's. Right now, get free basic installation with the purchase of Stainmaster carpet and pad, $4.99 or more. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Install available in-store only. Requires non-refundable site assessment fee. Fee is credited to final project price if bought through Lowe's. More charges may apply. Not available in all areas. See Lowe's.com for details, exclusions, and licensure. Valid 219 to 413, U.S. only.
There's magic that happens when you get together in a Vrbo vacation home. It's the magic of spilled drinks and twirling hugs. It's inside jokes and loud shower singing and life advice and big sister real talk and laughing till you can't breathe. It's the feeling of relief because no matter who you are, there's nothing like spending time with the people you love. Vrbo, a place for together. Download the app to find yours.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Casey Foreman. He is a contributor for Blue Man Hoop. The website is ran by FanSided. It provides daily blogs for the NBA's Golden State Warriors, and he's also a creator and co-host of the Dudes Talking Sports podcast. Great to have him on the program, giving us a current insight of what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Keep boredom at bay with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. With the bars you need from bedroom to basement, there's no room for boredom. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Socks are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. Underwear second, and shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear, and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.